Tom Alistair.
Bigger, adding to it, putting in front of it,
Then you get into Revelation that he can put a balcony in there. And through it all, keep any ice cream fans. Really, I miss the airplane props.
It'll be there.
And a few other things. I should have known when I walked into the office there and I saw the desk. Stumbled over another one right back here. Where'd you get these? Said, years ago we picked them up, you know, and I've been saving them. He is one of the world's greatest savers. If an organization's running into red, if they want to come out, just let him manage the money. He is one of the best savers I know. And I appreciate that. My life has certainly been better so much. Except for the time when we went to South America. Oh, I never know that was an ordeal. He had told the world that he mothered me for 30 days. But that's not true. Let me put it this way, that's not quite true. Praise the Lord. But I never know anyone who was so easy to get along with. Matter of fact, after 30 days, I even enjoyed his drunkenness. I knew we were stealthy. He got sick there for a while, and I was worried about it. You know, and that stuff had been buried overnight. They do. They're buried overnight. It's the Lord. I was afraid I wouldn't get a word home. Oh, my. It's like he had buried, I don't know what else. But I want to say that certainly it's a blessing. It's good to see the old saints. That speaks so much of a man's ministry. You know why there's not more older people here? God in his providence has seen fit to call some home. But you are here because you listened to what he had to say.
Hallelujah.
And you are pliable enough where he can make something out of you.
That's right.
I want to say, I've never heard a church testify any better than this church.
Amen.
Well, Robert, they testify this church. And worship God. And when they get done testifying, really, it's that everybody. And you got to know what you're saying when you get up, because there's no book here.
That's right.
It's been a Bible church.
Yes.
And I came in into that midweek service, and I started to mention, and there was no seat. No seats there, and so I took a place on the stairs back there, and I noticed that the camera was trying to teach his lesson, and he kept studying me and going along with it, you know. And you know how to teach it. Very gracious. The woman says, the cabinet. She said, yes, sir. The man said, the cabinet, quickly. Yes, ma'am. So he doesn't have to get you off. But I marvel that this has been a Bible church. And on a Bible study night, I was passing through. No wonder I was coming. I was tickled at it back there. He was just saying, finally he just said, I got to stop a minute. And I want to know what Alistair was doing here so bad I can't go on. But he's good on him and it's expensive. But what thrilled me to see that he has never gone in for all the gimmicks and the gadgets and the throwaways and the giveaways to try to fill up the church. He's done it with a book.
Yeah.
I'm glad that this has been a Bible.
Amen.
I'm in the church, folks.
Yes.
And you can thank God for good, strong leadership that hasn't bowed and yielded to. And you know, it's really a tough on us preachers to just get in with everything that comes along. And I'm glad that he's held mine. And I said, Mr.
favorite scripture.
places in the Bible. I've been trying to recall if there has been any time that I've ever used this in a sermon or as a text in itself. I do not recall at the moment, but I don't remember having a sermon on this scripture. Very familiar. We can all quote it. Let's turn to the 12th chapter of the book of Romans in verse number 1. When I'm looking, a Bible student will quote this chapter. But I'm not here to give you anything new. And because a man takes an old text, there's no sign for somebody to say we've heard that before.
That's right.
But I hope tonight that somehow that we can reach you with an old message. An old text. Old preachers can preach old text. And so, I want to read my verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I will just take two words from this verse, and let me talk about some 20th century stuff. I have no text, or rather no title, other than the fact I want to talk on these two words tonight. Sacrifice and service. And for a message of dedication, I would like to talk to you about sacrifice and service. I know what it's taken to put this up this long. And I felt sorry for my friend as he had to labor to get it along. And these fine men and women in the church have worked themselves out to get it here. There's so much there. Let me just begin with a portion of the verse and let's go through it. I beseech you. The word beseech means to call to one's aid or to call to one's side. It means to exhort. It means to call. It means to desire.
Praise God.
With desire have I desired to eat this also. Praise the Lord. That word beseech. We have capable people here that can tell you better than I. It simply means territory. That's what Jesus is, our Holy Ghost is. Here was a man trying to talk to his people. And he's trying to say that I'm here to tell you something. The whole comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, is he who is called alongside by to help or the paraclete. He who would beseech us. He who would desire us to do God's will. He who would implore, who would call to us, who would lead us. Praise God. And this is what Paul is doing as a man of God. He is simply saying here as a messenger, as a minister of God, I carry to you. I'm beseeching you here. Oh, and how he can do it. I would like to briefly mention as we get into this verse. I contend that there's a missing element in Pentecostal rites today. And I know people kind of look at you sideways when you say that. But I've been telling you that for a few years.
Yes, sir.
And every one of our ministers entrenchments, the encroachments of the machinery that humans invent, and how it retards progress for God's true work. Oh, I think that's his message. And of course, Brother Johnson last night, how he put that, he just echoed Brother Ben. I listened, Brother Boy preach. I listened to Brother today when he preached. So the money, it's just, I don't want to get up tonight. We're here together preaching that we've never heard.
Yes.
You can go to all of our apostolic, or all of our wondrous groups to listen to the preachers. The preachers are better than ever.
Amen.
Now, I want to say this. I have seen standards come up higher than they've been. I know we're falling a lot of places, but I see some standards that are coming up. I'm standing.
Praise the Lord.
Better standing. Better preaching. But there's still something missing.
All right. Come on.
And people have looked for it. They have looked for it in the latter rain.
All right.
They have looked for it in compromise.
Yes.
They have looked for it in all the little organizational gimmicks that are presented every now and then.
Come on.
But they haven't found it.
Yes.
Each one must throw up the hands and say it's not in you. I want to say that there's something missing. I'm going to tell you what it is.
Hopefully.
But this way it is. Sacrifice. And serve.
All right. Amen.
Now, in the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, some of the greatest doctrines that you'll ever study, all the cardinal ones, the main ones, for a living, weighty, mighty chapter, Paul has stacked one on top of another. Name the doctrine that you deem to be worthy of importance or recognition. And he has detailed it out. Oh, what logic, what argument. On and on, he goes. What a brain, what a mind, what a message. But suddenly we come to chapter 12. And we have reached the scene, the edge, the continental divide. And now we're going on one slope in another direction. And he is turning out the practical teaching. He has given you the fundamentals and the basics. He has given you the foundation as a wise master builder. But now he is beginning to give you free everyday holiness instruction. You need a message. You've got to know sanctification. You've got to know repentance. You've got to know justification.
Yes.
You've got to know all the revelation.
Yes.
You've
Amen.
Got to know baptism and all of this.
Oh, yes.
But then the man who still needs the whole passage.
Yes.
Amen.
What it is.
Yes.
Then Paul as the master persuader. As the wise master builder, he's saying, all right, I've given you something to build on now in doctrine.
But
now I'm going to paraphrase you.
I'm
going to beseech you to build on what I have given you. Praise the Lord. How is that going to do you any good to rejoice about if I don't tell you how to keep yourself?
That's right.
Two parts to this thing. Praise God. So he said, brethren, I beseech you that you make a present out of your body.
Yes. Amen.
I hope you present your body.
Yes.
You say, why did he say that? Well, first of all, it won't do you any good. You just come around and say, well, I worship God in the mind. You see, your spirit controls your body.
All right.
Your body can't do anything by itself. But he said, I want you to make a present to the Almighty God out of your body.
because there's no better in here.
Yes. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Another conversation.
Right. It's not simply mean talking in the Greek. No. What it means is manner of life or behavior.
Right.
And you have to let your manner of living be such a thing that it is a living sacrifice.
Yes.
If you don't like the way we dress around here, well, study it a little bit. Don't open your mouth and talk about it. We're not doing this for you anyhow.
Yeah.
Falling and drifting. I wanted to cry out, but I
your old car away.
Preacher's
heart.
outside doors and stand outside somewhere where you can't get them.
But
listen to all that, and I want to cry. You know what I'm talking about? There's some people that don't mind say, all right, tell me what God will accept. Your whole life has to be so put together that God's going to accept it. I tell you, he has got his men right on the line. They have watched the things that they know about. He respects them. We know what he wants. We know what he wants. And we must reject certain things. That means not to preach against certain things. You say, well, that way, that would mean God won't have it. I'll tell you something. If you ever get in trouble with God's ministry, you get in trouble with God.
Right. Amen.
Also, I want to say reasonable service. The sacrifice, but I don't count some things as a sacrifice. Holiness is reasonable.
Yes.
Everything that God requires for you to do is reasonable.
Amen.
Bring up the only message put out of the world today that is reasonable.
Yes.
You know this person in the world is. look like we were in church.
No.
I want you to put a great gulf of separation between this society and the church.
All right.
And I thank God for the apostolic voices I've been hearing.
Amen.
Now, God has a reason for our worship. He has a reason for us believing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Like we do. Then again, the time will come. They'll be walking around with dresses. That's our
belief.
No sleeves at all. It'll be like this guy that took into my church the other day, claiming to have the Holy Ghost. Everybody loved him. Been around a couple of years. I said, "Well, you want to go with God?" Yes, sir. I said, "Listen to me. I've been preaching to you a few weeks. You see that little earring? Take it out." "Oh, no. If I took it out, I would feel naked."
Lord help.
What you will find is a bunch of Jezebels all over our land with high
hairs.
I'll let him be the one that saint, what angel who will be the anointed cherub. He will be the most beautiful, magnificent creature ever. He will dazzle your eyes. And God made a shining angel and said, I'm going to make a world. And he made the world and said, that's all yours.
My Lord.
And he is yet the God of this world. And the prince of the power of the
earth.
He's not bound in an infernal region yonder. He still has the say. He still has authority. And that's why he even said to our place, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you these kingdoms.
Yes.
You can have them and bypass them if you will kneel and serve me. But mercy was by God's side. When the heart of that angel began to swell with pride, and the five I wills you find in the book of Isaiah began to say, I will ascend, I will be like, I will make my throne, until God got him and cast him down.
Yes.
It was mercy that said, God, let's clean out here. It's mercy when God cleans out a church. It's mercy when somebody preaches the truth to you. It's mercy when they'll tell you your sins.
Amen.
It's mercy when they'll bring double back to you.
That's right.
Mercy stands by your bedside. Beautiful, immaculate. Yes, you will. Mercy. sir. You look around and see how many other people have it. It was mercy that put me into the kind of church I was in. Yes. I can't realize who it is, but I love Brother Baker's name today.
Oh, yes.
He's got me talking about
it.
I love Mr. Davis today. He's got to help tell me and give me something.
Yes.
Mercy. You don't get the right kind of a leader when you're yet in your formative years. You will flounder the rest of your life. You hear what I'm saying? Oh, God.
Mercy stiff on my side.
It helped me along through my failure. I rode boxcars around this country. I was hungry. Never complained. Didn't care. But one day, when God got me down to that altar, oh, I saw how mercy had led me along. Oh, but I was so glad to obey when I got the Holy Ghost.
Oh,
for as I somehow had been chaperoned by mercy. And it had been my guardian. There came a time when I became mercy's child.
Yes!
Oh, oh, yes. I was a child. Oh, yes. Oh, sir, I want to tell you, the only reason we're here, listen to me, Gentile. The only reason you're here is because of mercy.
Yes.
Oh, God, and mercy. That God has mercy on you.
Yes.
All right. I've got to hurry. In the book of Genesis, we find the story of two boys. They are presenting their offering. Now, quickly, what are they doing? One presents his animal. He has put a lamb on the altar. The other is putting his fruit, his vegetable. He is putting the product of the ground. One is a bloody sacrifice. One is an unbloody. And remember this. These boys somehow didn't know light didn't go on. The little light turned on and said, you read this, you know. This is what I'm going to do. No. God's not going to leave this up to you. Faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
God told these boys what to do.
Yes. All right.
I believe this was a time when bloody sacrifices were instituted.
Yes.
At this time.
Right.
All right. Now, the reason God did not accept the sacrifice of Cain was simply because he did not put the blood sacrifice before him.
Yes.
God would have accepted the other. You say, how come? Well, we're going now to the book of Leviticus in just a moment. You'll find that you could not have one sacrifice without the other. They are twin sisters.